This is Fresh Air. Journeys near and far into the past and even into space are the subject of the novels, memoirs, and narrative histories that make up our book critic Maureen Corrigan's early summer reading list. Here are her recommendations.
There's still time to make travel plans for August 21st. That's the date when a total solar eclipse will cross the continental United States, the first such eclipse in 99 years. The total eclipse can only be witnessed within a 70-mile-wide path called the Path of Totality, which stretches from Oregon to South Carolina. According to David Barron, it's nature's most awesome show, and he should know. Barron is a self-professed umbraphile, or eclipse chaser. He's also a science writer who's just written a suspenseful narrative history about the last total solar eclipse to cross North America in the summer of 1878. Barron's book is called American Eclipse, and it follows a group of 19th century adventurers who raced out to the Rocky Mountains to study the last eclipse up close. 31-year-old Thomas Edison was one of this intrepid band. Another was astronomy professor Mariah Mitchell, who took some of her Vassar students out to Colorado to prove that women could do science too. As the eclipse got underway, Barron vividly describes how the temperature plummeted, nocturnal animals emerged from hiding, and familiar colors of mountains and trees shifted. The total eclipse itself lasted about 3 minutes, the same span of time predicted for the upcoming August 21st eclipse. But Barron makes those 3 minutes seem transcendent. Experiencing a total eclipse, he says, is like falling through a trapdoor into a dimly lit, unrecognizable reality. The sun and the moon are thoroughly foreign, an ebony pupil surrounded by a pearly iris. It is the eye of the cosmos. If David Barron is obsessed with eclipses, Helene Stepinski is obsessed with family history. But she's not one of those genealogy bores, predictably intent on proving her relation to royalty. Rather, Stepinski wants to get to the bottom of a long-ago murder case that propelled her great-great-grandmother Vida from southern Italy to Jersey City in 1892. Stepinski's atmospheric new book, Murder in Matera, is part memoir, fiction, and travelogue, and it reads like a detective story, with Stepinski playing the part of her clan's Columbo. As she tantalizingly tells readers in her introduction, by the end of her 10-year investigation, Stepinski would travel deep into the countryside and dusty archives of southern Italy and discover one shotgun blast and five dead bodies, most of them belonging to my family. Transatlantic family calamities of a more comic sort are the subject of Francesca Siegel's novel of manners called The Awkward Age. Siegel's heroine, Julia Alden, is a middle-aged widow with a teenage daughter. Julia has fallen for a divorced American obstetrician with a teenage son. The foursome move in together into Julia's North London home, and the teenagers at first loathe each other. But when a truce is called, trouble of the erotic sort ensues. This is a smart and droll domestic drama reminiscent of the work of those two magical Lauries, Laurie Colwin and Laurie Moore. Two American writers with one-of-a-kind voices and sensibilities have written superb new memoirs about their parents. To my way of thinking, nobody gives ordinary human beings their due with the grace and precision that Richard Ford does. His slim new memoir about his parents, called Between Them, is so gently spellbinding that I've already read it twice. Ford's father was a traveling bleach salesman in places like Mobile and Little Rock during the 1930s and early 40s. So part of the bonus of this little book is that it sits readers down in the company car and takes us on an unsentimental but enchanted journey through the long-ago landscape of the American South. According to Sherman Alexie, his mother Lillian was a beauty, a liar, a sometimes loving, sometimes abusive parent who lost custody of her kids at least once, and a strong-willed woman who gave up drinking cold turkey one day and never looked back. I'm just skimming the surface of Alexie's portrait of his mother in his whirlwind of a memoir called You Don't Have to Say You Love Me. There's straight personal history here, as well as fable, poetry, and raw and mordant accounts of life on the Spokane Indian Reservation where Alexie grew up. Unexpected revelations are a constant throughout this memoir. At one point, Alexie tells us, "White folks love to think that Native American culture is progressive and liberal, but it is often repressive. Indians are quick to socially judge one another. I wouldn't realize it until I read more widely in college, but living on an Indian reservation was like living inside an Edith Wharton novel, a place where good and bad manners were weaponized." For decades, the weapon of choice in John Grisham's thrillers has been his main character's quick wits. This summer, Grisham is publishing his 30th novel. This one is a standalone, and it's the perfect beach book for bibliophiles. Camino Island is a heist caper that begins when a gang of thieves successfully steals a priceless literary treasure, the handwritten manuscripts of F. Scott Fitzgerald's 5 novels, which are kept in a vault deep in Princeton's Firestone Library. I've been there. This could never happen. But as usual, Grisham is such a deft suspense writer, he makes me believe. Even if you can't get yourself to the solar eclipse's Path of Totality this August 21st, any of these very different books will get you onto the path of a totally good story.
Maureen Carrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.